What do we have in common? Each one of us is unique in our own way. We have certain skills and we have interests that may set us apart from others. But we all have that same goal we are striving for, especially those of us in the church, which also sets us apart from others in the world. Yet, there is still one thing we struggle with and we must be aware of as we still live in this world, and that is our human nature, which is the title of my sermonette. This world is ruled by Satan, and we are surrounded by his evil intentions. We are tested constantly, and we need to make sure that we don't give in to the carnal human desires that this world is used to. Let's start in the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, we see here that God had a plan for mankind from the very outset. It was a perfect plan that he had come up with. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we read, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them." And in verse 31, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So obviously everything that he had made up to this point, including man, was good. It was perfect. So then we see in chapter 2 and verse 7, how he had created man. "Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and man became a living being." Now let's skip over to verse 15 of chapter 2. "Then Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die,'" or will proceed to die. Now, everything here was Adam's. God gave Adam everything when it came to the garden, everything he was surrounded by. He was free to do what he wanted. But there was just one test that God asked of Adam to keep. Now, why would God put that tree there? That's always been a question everybody wondered. And was this a question of trust? Did he not trust Adam? Well, as we can see with a lot of the things that are put in the Bible here for our own good, we still have a choice to make. Adam still had a choice to make. It could have been very simple to not have any tests for him. That would defeat the purpose. Remember, Satan also had a choice to make before he became Satan, when he was Lucifer. So there is no guarantee in this life that he had, but an action was required. To do good, we must obey, and God was merely testing Adam to see if he would obey. That was it. Let's look at chapter 3 and verse 6. So then, of course, God created a woman for Adam as a companion. So then we see in chapter 3 and verse 6, "When the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Now, I'm not saying that the woman is to blame here for this, but we see deception coming into play here. And how did deception come into play? Well, it came through Satan the devil. And this is the type of deception that we are faced with all the time. So he tricked Eve into thinking that the tree was good for food. And we know how Satan works. Satan is very cunning. He's very crafty. And now Adam, on the other hand, did not stand up for himself, and he went right along with it. He didn't want to upset Eve. Is that the question? But it would have been the first fight. Well, we know what also happens in this day and age, how people are not strong enough to stand up for themselves. And I'm bringing this to everybody's attention with the start of Genesis, with the start of this, because we can see a type of theme that has developed over time. We see this today. Man's going to do what the wife does, wife doesn't, man does, even though it's contrary to God's law, and we see it all the time. Now let's look at verse 11 of chapter 3. When God had confronted them, and God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Verse 12, the man said, "The woman whom you gave to me with me, she gave me of a tree, and I ate." So obviously what you see here is he wasn't going to take blame for himself. Rather, he's going to blame others. And we see that today as well in society, don't we? Verse 13, and the Lord God said to the woman, "What is it that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So there again. She wasn't going to blame herself for what she did. She wasn't going to put that guilt or say that she sinned. No. It was Satan. Satan made me do it. Well, because of this, a punishment then came along in verse 14. Verse 14 through 19. And through this punishment, it had been the start of how we are pretty much paying for it. Let's say when it comes to verse 14, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, more of every beast of the field. Or actually, he was saying that to Satan. In verse 16, the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." That has actually kind of changed in society lately, too. Verse 17, and then to Adam he said, "Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both horns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Now, as I said, these actions, a lot of them that we saw here, blame, not standing up for oneself, and the punishment, these actions are still evident today. Human nature has spread on through the offspring of the parents. Look at what eating from the tree which God forbade had done. Now, I am not saying that their offspring would automatically be created in this nature, but, again, a choice had to be made. You're not born that way. That is something that develops over time. Again, it is a choice. But it is equally important, though, to make sure that you teach your children the right thing. Because don't they imitate everything the parents do? Well, my son does, and that's why I have to be careful. So we have recently heard about effects the parents have through their children in a recent message. But look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Because obviously through Adam and Eve, the offspring came forth and it wasn't going very well. So in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, we read, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." An evil human nature. Verse 12, "So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." So God's initial perfect plan, I guess I could say, pretty much backfired. However, it was not his intention for this to happen because human beings still had a choice to make. Well, we do read about the faithfulness of Noah. This didn't happen to every single person. But through Noah, man was saved. But that doesn't mean he was also perfect, because we know that every man has sinned but one, Christ, when he came to this earth. But he did still sin. He got himself drunk, for example. He let his guard down in chapter 9, verse 2, or chapter 9, verse 21. But then through his offspring, there again, there was sin, a bad choice that through his offspring that they had chosen. in a negative way. Again, it was not an automatic thing that this would happen. But, again, Satan was involved. The Tower of Babel, for example, in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1. The whole earth had one language and one speech. So then verse 6, the Lord said, indeed the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Man here had a purpose, plotting out a way to be better than God. This obviously was not pleasing to God at all. And this reminds me of the scripture in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says that we shouldn't deceive ourselves, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And this was a perfect example of that. Now, what is the intention in general of the heart? Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, read, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. The same type of test that he gives you and me is the same type of test he gave Adam and everybody else following. The heart is deceiving. God tests us and blesses us according to our fruits. So this is the action that is required by you and me. Yes, even our hearts are deceiving at times, and we are confronted with sin always. How do we handle it when we do sin? Do we recognize that what we are doing is wrong? Do we struggle with the same thing over and over again? What I talked about in my previous message. Do we make the extra effort by asking God for forgiveness and try our best to avoid sin? We struggle with human nature. It is a mixture between good and evil. Let's look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, starting. All have sinned. We already know that. And here in Romans chapter 3, we see human nature, for example. Starting in verse 10, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, they have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb, with their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Here's a perfect example of the society and the world that we live in today. This is what we are surrounded by. But look at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, or under its penalty, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds, or the works, of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is knowledge of sin. There is a reason why there is a law. To say that the law is done away with is absolutely false. There is a law, obviously. And because we keep the law, this defines what our difference between sin and not sin, righteousness. So we have a choice to make. We are not born with an evil intent, but we need to be careful that we don't adopt what is evil, carnal human nature, that encompasses this world, but rather we need to apply what God commands us into our lives. And by following the example of Christ, when he came to this earth, who lived a perfect and sinless life in this world, in the very society that we have today, he was surrounded by. But he also conquered Satan by not letting himself be influenced in a negative way that could have led to a wrong nature. That's the example that we need to go by. So let's make sure we do the same.